All right, whatever. We're going to talk about marriage and parenting. So let's pray. God, we're asking for you to have mercy on us and help us to actually mirror or image your parenting of us. I pray that as our kids are shaped, or as we are children who've been shaped, that the Holy Spirit would be able to correct the flaws, inspire more compassion, love, consistency, firmness, that we'd be stronger where we're too weak, and that we would be more merciful where we're too harsh. In Jesus' name. All right, so even though I don't see any PowerPoint, that's fine. I'll just read you the questions. First question, mostly, hey, look, Joe's going to play keyboard. Mostly the questions are going to be for, at least this is how I feel about it anyway. I'm in the process of learning this hardcore. We had a series we just finished in the evenings watching these really good videos that were challenging to me. And at the end of the series, I ended up saying, yeah, I just still need a complete overhaul. So, with that in mind, how have y'all divided up parental responsibilities? Of course, you can answer as well. How have y'all divided up parental responsibilities?
I can't remember.
Well, at this point in our lives, we've turned it over to our kids. And we just enjoy the grandkids. I don't really quite have an answer on that. I mean, we worked at it together. It probably wasn't a conscious division of responsibilities.
One thing that Diane and I try to do is not contradict one another, and again, make sure we communicate and our children know that they can't play one of us off against another. I don't know, my wife would probably say that she does most of the disciplining because I'm not around much, but I think I did the disciplining when they were young, when it was hard. Well, that sounded bad. You know, when your little girls, you're going to the closet with her to, and well, that was you, wasn't it? But I did it quite a bit, too. I haven't spanked one of my children in a long, long time, but I did quite a bit of it when they were young. But for some reason, my little boy still can push her further than they can push me. That's why.
I was going to say that I think Bob was when our older two were younger, he was gone almost. You were gone a lot because of the job he had. And so that I felt like that was more my, I had taken over because he was just not around. But as he, when he got on with American and was around more, and even when we moved out here when you were around more, we really ended up just kind of divide. I mean, it was like a team effort. We didn't divide. We didn't say like, okay, you spank and, you know, I'll coddle or anything like that. We didn't do that. But I think the one thing we just really...
Right in the face, right up here.
I think the one thing we are pretty strict on is our kids know not to ask me if they've asked him and he said no. Or if I said no, to go to him and ask him. That because they have found out that if they do that and we realize that was done, the hammer comes down.
And I just, again, and you've heard this before from me, but I just want to lay down just a real short snippet of my philosophy. I thought there were some excellent things in those videos, and they were some good things for me to think about. However, I still believe you need a balance. I believe that nothing irritates me more than to see a parent bargain with their child.
Bob, that was nowhere in the videos. There was no bargaining.
No. I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying, in light of what he said, it gave me some new things to think about. See, the thing for me was, I had to be very careful, because discipline to me as a child was administered very harshly. And I was scared to death of my dad. And I didn't want my children to be scared to death of me. And they're still more scared of me than they are of Diane. But I don't think they fear me in that way.
You've kept a connection with your kids.
Right. Exactly.
And one thing that, one thing that I didn't realize until we were into it, too, was that his situation was, there was a running tally when Dad came home. And I remember one specific day I was having a hard time with one of our younger children, and I called him and said, you need to come home and take care of this, because he's not listening to me. And he walked in, and he looked horrified. And I was like, what is wrong? He's like, I can't do this. You can't call me and say, this is what happened. You need to discipline. And so we had a real connection there that I realized.
I didn't say you couldn't talk to me about it.
No.
You guys can both talk over each other with mics.
I wasn't saying she couldn't call me and talk about it.
No.
But
it was the bag. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
and nothing.
And that's something you have to be careful
with, especially with young children. Discipline needs to be administered quickly at that time so they can associate.
But lovingly.
To me, when I
had lost that loving feeling at that point.
when I do spank my children, it's a long process. I mean, I draw the line, and if they step over the line, they know they're going up to my room. And I pray with them, and I even when they were very young and I knew they couldn't understand, I explained to them why they could not do that after I drew the line in the sand.
We always take them somewhere. We never discipline right like where
and
we're
never,
at.
Never not lash out with the hand. The hand
out
is
of anger or frustration.
And that's the thing that I had to be real careful. That's one of the reasons why and you guys know our children. I mean, I think we did pretty good with the older two. I hope my little boys can't hear this, but they may give me a run. They may give me a run for my money. But discipline, which spanking a child is only that much of discipline.
That's right.
It's only a small part.
I need to just sit around and listen to people like this talk constantly, because my programming is dog is bad, dog gets hit. Child is rude, child gets a stern, whatever. And if child's bad, child gets a SWAT. You hear what I'm saying? Like it's like a one-to-one correlation. And the one-to-one correlation is right. The consistency is right. But the harshness is wrong. And in the video series we watched, the term for my parenting style is what he called yellow trucking. I'm bigger and stronger, which is why you have to obey me. As opposed to, I'm here for your development and shaping.
Let me modify that, though, by saying that may be your instinct, but I have seen you override that instinct very well in a much more balanced way.
Thank you for making me appear more accurately compassionate. I'm very confessional in how I share things, right? So Carrie's probably more accurate.
We've noticed.
But I really am. I scare myself as a dad. I do, and I am deeply concerned that the public expression of Christianity that I bear is gonna be undermined by my intensity and my demanding nature. As I can be, this is what I expect of you. This is what you will do, and you will do it now. I'm not nearly as merciful as God is, and I need to grow into that for the sake of, first off, my own soul, but also for the sake. And Lynn's over there going, dude, I know you do, because Lynn gave some good advice the other day, and that was, they're kids, Tim. They are kids. You got to remember, Gabe is a kid.
That's right.
I'm going, oh, man, I got to get that in my head. Anyway, sorry. Next question. This is sort of slightly different, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I think kids, you have to have different expectations. You are functioning as an adult. Kids are functioning as kids, and you do need to overlook some things because kids react in a different way than what adults do. However, I agree with the fact that you do need to set down some basics, and they understand, you know, your intentions and your rules.
But my wife would point out, did he understand what you expected of him, Tim? And I go, of course he understood. You hear what I'm saying? She's very, yeah. If we do the good cop, bad cop, I'm the bad cop. I'll just tell you that right now. She's the good cop, you know. She's like, well, if you seem really hungry, I'm sure we can give you another snack even after you brushed your teeth and had sufficient time to eat your supper. Now you're in bed and screaming. Whereas I'm like, I would almost relish the pain he's in for his baby. I was like, eat it, brother. Deal with it. You know, and so good cop, bad cop going on there. You know, yeah, how does that hunger feel? Yeah, that's what you get for screaming and making a huge mess of my evening. That's a loving dad right there. All right, how do you decide, question two, how many children to have? I just let her decide.
Where'd you get these questions?
He's probably still struggling with that one.
I would hope that there was some discussion about that before you were married. That's a little bit.
Before you were sexually active.
Yes. So before you were married.
Bob says that it means that there are some families that strongly believe you allow God to make that choice. And then there are some families that say God has given us the ability to...
I think both would say that.
Well, yes, but you know. And so that's where you have to be careful not to... step on that.
God has also given us the wisdom of knowing what we can handle and what we can't handle. And I think each couple has to decide for themselves what you can handle and what you financially can handle and what you physically and emotionally can handle.
Cat's getting out of the bag now. I can feel it. Cat's getting out of the bag because... I know. It's good. It's good. But, okay. So I can feel everyone else wants to talk, so I'll let them.
I'll just say something. I'm going to put myself out on a limb here and not to refer to anybody in particular, but I really believe if we take the approach that we'll have kids as long as God gives us the physical ability, I think that's bordering on irresponsibility. I want to say that kindly and sensitively, but I really think that's where it is. We shouldn't really do that. That's my opinion. If you're gonna bring kids into this world, you need to be able to take care of them and provide them with a good environment. And it costs a lot. I mean, consider all those things. I guess that's about all I have to say about that.
Carrie and I have seen this happen where there's a mom, I'm not going to name names and see how I can be careful here. Oh, boy. We have definitely seen what Joe and Gloria are talking about, where there is a theology of, I guess you'd call it quiverful. Of course, the food equivalent of that is obesity. But anyway, what happens is, this is what we've seen. There's a mom, she's at home struggling with depression, and she's stressed out, and her blog entries are always God-centered, but they're desperate, and they're traumatic. And her stress levels are way higher than she can handle. And she's got this theology that says submit to the husband. And the husband's got a theology that says get her pregnant. And you've been married how many years? And that's how many kids you have? And there's got to be some attention. This is where I would look at it. At the husband's point where he looks at his wife and says, am I loving her properly?
Right.
Am I loving her properly? Or have I constructed a kind of arbitrary theology here and I'm going to follow it no matter the negative consequences to my bride? That concerns me. I'm all about, if you want to have tons of kids because both of you agree that that's a value you have, praise God, go for it. If that's a part and parcel with your purpose and mission on planet Earth, is to populate the Earth with little Christians you've raised, praise God. The guy who discipled me did that. He had like 9 kids the last time I checked. He's awesome. Jim and Susie are awesome. But if Susie had said, I can't do this, then Jim should have said, baby, we shouldn't keep running headlong into this with blind faith that this theology shouldn't even be evaluated. I mean, anyway.
And then there's always the sequel to how that affects the depression. And I mean, depression of the mother affects the children.
This
is a very, very realistic that you have to think of the consequences in a much broader a frame of mind than just what you two decide.
I think we're leaving out a really important aspect, and that is prayer. You never just go, "Oh, we have a baby on the way." Like it's a surprise. Were we not in prayer for that child when in both situations? I think I was.
I don't think prayer had anything to do with it. After conception,
no.
Maybe.
No. Yeah. I think you need.
Make that joke properly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, I was wondering if it was okay if we made love tonight.
Give me that. That is not. No. You. I think you need to prayfully. Especially if you are going, okay, we are going
to
have...
And I think the answer to that prayer is yes.
Careful.
Thank you, Lord. May I have another?
All right.
Let's just... Okay.
Can I say one thing?
Not about that. I agree in principle with what Joe and Gloria said, and I think that you definitely need to talk about this before the fact. And you need to pray about it, and you need to seek God's face. The only thing I would disagree on is
money.
Yeah. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about people on... Yeah. This is a very touchy... No, touchy isn't the right word. It's sensitive. Yeah, it's sensitive. Everybody would probably say they... At the time, they couldn't afford their children, and I believe that well, maybe enough has been said.
I just don't think you
communicate, talk about it, pray about it.
I don't think it should be a financial question, because.
And you know, for us, for the reason we stopped having children was because it was a physical issue with Diane. I mean, the doctor said, don't have any more children or you could jeopardize your wife's life. And so I thought, well, that's a pretty good reason to follow his advice. So there are reasons. There are legitimate reasons. But you better talk about it and pray about it and agree, and don't force your will on the other spouse.
Why don't you two couples share that orange microphone? That way I can stop and share the meeting a little better.
With Tim and I think every pregnancy we've had has been, I've been ready ahead of him. And I would say for us, like I could, when I was in middle school, I wanted to have 12 kids. I don't know that I necessarily wanted to have 12 kids, but I could honestly have a lot of kids, but Tim, I don't.
And she'd still be like 100 pounds.
And I think it would really, there would come a point where it would really stress him out.
Yeah.
But so like, because I think I wouldn't mind to go for another one more after this one, but yeah, I'm, we're not necessarily, no. We're compromising. But
pray about that.
But I really appreciate. Okay. I really appreciate.
Why are we compromising? I always just give in. Oh.
I do really appreciate. I know that each child has been stretching for Tim, but I really appreciate
the metaphor there, and that's 320 right there.
It was.
I have appreciated his willingness because he knows how much I've cared. I've cared a lot about having more kids, and he's agreed to more because he knows how much I care, and I really appreciate that about him. And I have seen him, honestly, I have seen him grow as a dad. I know how he keeps talking about himself, but I really respect his parenting, and I have seen you grow. The more kids we have, so if we just keep having more kids.
One of the things to think about there too is what it does for the kids. There's something about growing up with a larger number of siblings, and I don't mean it has to be nine, but I mean, you know, but you just have one or two, you know.
Only children.
Only children.
No, I'm saying if you're an only child,
that does
affect how you view the world and how you operate in relationships. It's just
so multiples, there's something to be said for that to a point.
And not that it's wrong, but we just, let's move on, okay.
If you only have one child, it's going to warp them because see you're always going to know who did it, and there's going to be it's just going to be hard on them. So you got to have at least two.
Let me read this here so we can. Okay, these are just caricatures. All right, we're just pretending that there were only three parenting styles and that you were solid one of the three. Okay, authoritarian style. Authoritarian parents always try to be in control and exert their control on the children. These parents set strict rules to try to keep order, and they usually do this without much expression of warmth and affection. They attempt to set strict standards of conduct and are usually very critical of children for not meeting those standards. They tell children what to do. They try to make them obey. They usually do not provide children with choices or options. You got two options here. Obey me or suffer. Two options. Can you see them? Right? Authoritarian parents don't explain why they want their children to do things. If a child questions a rule or a command, the parent might answer, because I said so, which apparently I must say because Israel repeats that. Because why? Because. Authoritarian parents tend to focus on bad behavior rather than on positive behavior. Positive behavior just sort of goes unnoticed. Negative behavior gets hammered. And children are scolded or punished, often harshly, for not following the rules. Children with authoritarian parents, here's the effect on the kid. Children with authoritarian parents usually do not learn to think for themselves. Are you hearing me? They usually, because the parent has done all the thinking in the relationship, all of it. They usually do not learn to think for themselves or understand why the parent is requiring certain behaviors. If you put it towards God, it's the guy who says, God basically said, no fun, and I have no clue why. All right. Permissive style, number two. Permissive parents, they give up most of the control to the children. The parents make few, if any, rules, and the rules that they make are usually not consistently enforced. They don't want to be tied down to rules. They want their children to feel free. They usually do not set clear boundaries or expectations for their children's behavior, and they tend to accept in warm and loving tones however the child happens to believe. They're very understanding of the child throwing a fit. You got to understand, he is only three, and he was hungry, and he had a hard day, and he didn't get a nap. And so it makes sense that he would be on the floor in McDonald's kicking strangers. No big deal. Permissive parents give children as many choices as possible, even when the child is too young to make good choices. They tend to accept a child's behavior, good or bad, and make no comment about whether it's beneficial to them or others or not. They may feel unable to change misbehavior, or they may choose to not get involved. It's too much work, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Third style, I'm calling it a training style. I'm not sure why. I'm just trying to come up with a good word for it. Training parents help children learn to be responsible for themselves and to think about the consequences of their behavior. Parents do this by providing clear, reasonable expectations for their children. This is what I expect. Do you understand? And they'll keep talking until the picture in their head matches the picture in the child's head. They monitor. Oh, wait. And they do this by providing reasonable expectations for the children and explanations for why they expect their children to behave in a certain way. They monitor their children's behavior to make sure that they follow through on the rules and expectations, and they do this in a warm and loving manner. They often try to catch their children being good and reinforce the good behavior. Look at you. You did such a good job saying please and thank you. That's actually how we do it at our house with that one, but rather than obsessing over just the bad behavior. So, for example, if a child leaves her toys on a staircase, they may be told not to do this because somebody, quote, could trip and get hurt and the toy might be damaged, rather than just saying, don't put these here because I said so. As children mature, parents involve the children in making of the rules and doing the chores. How do we want to divide this up, guys? Who wants to do these jobs? Parents who have a training parenting style, they give choices based on the child's developmental ability. And for a toddler, the choice might be, you want a red shirt or a striped shirt? For an older child, the choice might be, would you like an apple or an orange or a banana in your lunchbox? Parents guide the children's behavior predominantly by teaching more than punishing. For example, you threw your truck at Mindy? That hurt her? We're putting your truck away until you can play with it safely. Research on child development shows that the most positive outcomes for children occur when parents use the third style. Children with permissive parents, the second style, where the kid is just really in charge, children with permissive parents tend to be aggressive and act out, while children with authoritarian parents tend to be compliant and submissive. In other words, it looks like it's working, but they have low self-esteem. They don't feel loved, and they don't feel capable of handling life. No parenting style works. None of these will work unless you bond with your children. Now, obviously, what we're basically saying is the training style is a blending of the two with a lot more brains and a lot more love and a lot more connection. There's freedom built in, but there's structure built in. You are in charge, but the goal is not simply to get them to follow rules. The goal is their development as a person who has to steward other people's hearts in relationship. So, a question then. Are we running out of time? What time is it? Somebody got to? It's time to end? All right, we'll take this up here next time, and then hopefully I won't delay the class like this time. I do apologize for that. Bless you. Thanks.